we found evidence in Africa, in the country of the Bamon art treasures of the relatively highly developed and in many ways unique Bamon culture. There were wood carvings and pottery, but also things like valuable works in brass, which we would never have expected in such a region. Yet even though our museums in Germany were almost filled to bursting with this art culture, our knowledge about the creators of these treasures remained negligible.
The German Emperor's Black Throne.
In the year 1892, when I was commanding officer in the highlands of North Cameroon, our loyal and devoted friend and blood brother Galiga, a wise old chief of the Bali, often spoke of a mighty ruler in the eastern of his magnificent capital, Fumban. He related that this city was surrounded by mighty walls and ditches, and was so enormous that if a battle were to break out at one end, the people at the other end would hear nothing of it and continue with their daily business. The distance from my government post was supposed to be a journey time of the period between the half moon and the full moon.
Let me tell you something. Listen to me, people. I would like to tell you the story of King Joya. Joya is the 17th king from Rifum. He is the 17th king in the palace. He became king as a child. I, Joya, am the son of Sangu Ngunguru. Ngunguru was the daughter of King Bwombwa. I, Joya, am the prince and the kingdom belongs to me, Joya. I, Joya, when I became king, refrained from the custom of executing many people. I carry the weight of the wrongs my fathers committed against people. I bear them like a man who carries an elephant on his head, a hippopotamus on his back, a buffalo on his left arm, a gazelle on his right arm, and an enormous snake round his kidneys, all at the same time. I want to carry them, even if more were added to these burdens, because I do not want to deny the people of my forefathers, and even those of my young successors.
Son of the sun and the moon, untamable lion, you whose blood is of the great ones of this world, the sun rose with you, it shines on your steps and on your people who are with you and who love you. His Majesty El Hajj Seydou Njimulu, Sultan of Bamun, the son and heir of the legendary Bamun King Joya Ibrahim, on his way to his home palace with his royal household after Friday prayer in the great mosque. Everything is festive, as if on a great stage. Fumban, Fumban, the capital of the Bamun Empire today. Almost a century since an officer in the colonial army first heard tell of the legendary King Joya in the Cameroon savannah. Fumban, Arabian Night and Taxi Rank. The handcraft of the bronze casters and woodcarvers reached its golden age at the turn of the century in the time of King Joya. Nowadays, the purchasers and descendants of the former colonial masters from Germany and France. An African kingdom in 1984. The little princes play football every day in the courtyard of the palace. A palace from the German period in Africa. History is still with us.
I am the 18th king of the dynasty. From Shariyen, I am now the 18th. Today, I am an advisor to the government. I am sultan and mayor of our city. I was a member of the Cameroon parliament too.
The sultan and his wives, the king is there to produce heirs. King Joya, his father, had about 1,200 wives to look after. The palace is the heart of the empire. The king's wives are often influential. The queen mother, for example, Meiko rule. The blossoms of the land live in their own section of the court. No man is permitted to enter the women's village.
When a person in heaven dies, a woman on earth has a child. And when a person on earth dies, a woman in the underworld has a child. I am one of the last of the wives of King Joya. The king's wives lived with the daughters, the princesses. And when these became adult, they married and left the court. The small ones stayed on. We women all lived here in the women's village and went to visit the king in the palace over there. He chatted with us, but we also had to work, like the weaving that I'm doing now. And the king watched us. That's me with my mother, who brought me into the world, and here with my father, the Sultan Joya. That was just before my wedding. I am Njimungu Pasma, the firstborn daughter of the king. This daughter is always named Njimungu, the daughter of the country. She is held in honor by all the Bamu. My father loved me very greatly and gave me many presents. Here, the king took my first child in his arms because it was his first grandson that he had seen with his own eyes. Father was big and sturdy. His skin was fair and neither black nor white. He was an intelligent king. He respected his people and changed many things and introduced many things which had not been there before in the Bamun country. We, said Njoya, will make a book that speaks without you hearing it. At that time, the Bamun could neither read nor write, but we, Njoya, invented letters. We helped the Bamun to become people who could write. After father had accomplished many things to help the development of his kingdom, he remembered that his people were still uneducated since there was still no form of writing in his kingdom. He had perceived that the Arabs had their own script. He asked himself how it would be possible for the Bamun to have their own script too. Then he had a dream. In this dream, someone gave him a board and told him to draw a man's hand on this board, to wash away the drawing and to drink the water he had used. When he had drunk this water, his mind would be open and everything will occur to him spontaneously. He did as instructed in the dream, and the next day summoned all the chiefs and important men and told each of them to bring a small drawing so that a form of writing could be composed. These people went away and came back. Each of them had made an effort to produce a small drawing, which they brought to the king. He discarded a few from all these drawings and kept the others. Today, we still work with these 28 characters that remained. I learned the script and I learned to weave too. I taught the writing script that you see here. With this new script, the king wanted to bring together dialects of the people in his kingdom. Njoya built 40 schools in which reading and writing were taught in this way. King Njoya introduced iron casting. He taught us how to use the black iron. He also invented our writing script. I tell you this, my children, so that you may listen to me. Njoya taught us weaving. He produced cloth. No one went naked anymore. Just look, you know his books. With his writing script, for example, he just thought about it. He invented it all by himself.
The old headman Jififin still teaches the Shimon script, which Njoya invented for his people. The ruler governed from the palace, the king's village, surrounded by ennobled official servants. 2/3 of the people were slaves and serfs. The liberal despot Njoya, however, had even picked slaves to be his closest advisers. The ordinary people paid for the army and state bodies through tribute paid to the court.
The highest person is the king who owns everyone. He is also the person who raises people to the nobility. After the king come, then come his advisers, with whom he decides the basic policies of the Bamun country. After them come, then come Shushut, the noble servants in the palace. Then come the Manshut, other servants. Nobles and princes are divided into two large societies. They are like political parties, but everything which takes place in them is secret. These secret societies have music and masks. One of them is Nguri. The princes belong to it. The noble servants of the king are in another one, Mbansi. A third society, Mungut, is at the king's command, but the king is also at Mungu's command. For this secret society protects the law of the land and announces its policies disguised with masks.
Is the central figure and leader. Their masks, confusion, fear, and power, an evil vision. The mask dance is a sort of cryptic language of the secret societies in the village of the king. The society Motungu is the police and is regarded as the husband of the country. Even the king must justify his policies in front of the Motungu uniforms. Two further societies divide princes and servants into two different factions, each of which tries to win the king's favor. The masks, rituals of power.
Nobody is allowed to go past the king in an upright position. He must bow in respect in front of the king. We learned how to do this. When he is sitting in the palace, no one is permitted to watch him eating or drinking, except for a few adults or young men he has chosen and who were called Poshira or little mice. At that time, no one was allowed to touch the king's hand, not at any time.
Bamun, you warrior people, born of a long and bloody fusion of tribes, your discoverers are on their way. White powers in far-off Berlin had already divided up Africa 17 years before. For 17 years now, the neighboring peoples of the Bamun have been occupied by Germans. Now, a white spot on the map, the legendary kingdom of Njoya is to become German Cameroon. The storm clouds from Berlin roll on. The leader, a young lieutenant, is driven on by desire. The high chief of the Bamun alone is reputed to have two houses filled with ivory.
On July 20th, 1902, I marched out from Banyo with 25 soldiers, 20 bearers and 3 houses intended for Captain Ramsey. I was met on the way by a Hausa and one of those Mafi people who brought 2 very large elephant tusks, a calf and about 100 eggs. Njoya sent word that he had intended to meet me today, but that his mother had advised him against it since I might believe that he wanted war if he came with all his people. Accordingly, he wanted to meet me the next day with only a few and leave his people behind. We passed the gate at 7:40 by my watch. At 9 o'clock, the Sultan came to meet me on a square with only a few companions.
The water follows its course without stopping. Come here, line up. When the Germans arrived, I was like this child here. They had spent a night in our village and killed goats belonging to our family. There was only one white man and a lot of soldiers. The strange black man had carried a lot of things behind him, and they threw us many things before they disappeared. That was the first time I ever tried beer, and I was afraid of them. At that time, who had ever seen a white man? My name is Andreas.
And how old are you? When were you born?
I was born in 1885, and the Germans came on July 6th, 1902.
Did you see the Germans?
I did see the Germans. 3 officers.
Who were they? Did you know their names?
I knew their names. The first, Sanderock. Ramsey
and Monsieur Habicht.
When the German people come, the chief called his people. His friends have come here. Come here, everyone, to greet my friends, new friends.
The aforementioned chief had prepared a reception and welcome, both for myself and for the trade expedition of Captain Ramsey, which was magnificent by African standards. Njoya's own behavior was noticeable for its modesty, shrewdness, and tact. He has stressed his complete submission to German rule and would like to receive the German colors. I will send him a small flag from Banyo and order a larger one for him from the imperial government in Buea. Sandrock, expedition leader.
In Berlin, in the year 1885, they divided up our great land. None of us wondered why these people had taken our misery on themselves. They said they had come to end our long suffering. They promised us enlightenment. We, Njoya, made a speech. The people who want trouble with the whites are fools. They have the wrong idea about it. Let the Fula and all the Hausa go to Mecca together with all the blacks. But if they wage war on the whites are capable of defeating them all in the space of 3 hours. The whites are 10,000 times superior to the blacks in terms of strength and in every kind of trickery. He said he felt like a woman and that the Germans were like men. He would simply obey them so that the Bamun kingdom could be live in peace. King Joya had summoned the Bamun and told them that the Germans were his friends. The Bamun listened to what the king recommended, but they didn't believe the king's words. While they were waiting for the Germans, they had taken sticks of bamboo from which they had removed the pith. They had hidden the points of their spears in the hollow part and waited like this for the Germans, so that if the strangers had come to wage war, our warriors would attack at once. My father managed to do what no other king in the Bamun country had even tried. He was a very wise king. When the white men arrived in this country, I was still a child. When we saw the strangers, we always called them the whites. No, you called them the mothers of infants because their skin was fair like the skin of newborn babies. Everyone was afraid with the gun. I was afraid because we never see white people before. When the Germans came, King Joya said to the Bamu, if they take an egg on the market without paying for it, say nothing. You, Bamun, need do nothing. We, King Joya, will settle it alone. If the next day the Germans take a carrot and give no money for it, say nothing. We, Joya, will settle it. If they beat you, do not defend yourselves. The king will settle it. The king gave away all these things. He was forced to. He had to hand over the things and the Germans gave no money for them. They were bad people.
Africa for Africans, but the Africans for us.
At first, the Germans built their camp outside the Bamun territory. The king was treated as an ally and friend of the Kaiser, but Joya was not allowed to have any strangers in the country, for two kings cannot rule one empire. But Joya begins to understand he is not alone anymore. The records of the military government speak of punishment and pacifications, for here and there, opposition among the people to the policies of the Kaiser and king becomes apparent.
The high chief of the Bamun, Joya, is far more capable than the average Negro. He is of a generally loyal disposition, but for various reasons deserves a more careful surveillance than has been possible up to now. Joya has ambitions for himself and his people to conform to European economic structures and to make themselves producers. The number of his workers engaged on the plantations is in the region of 3,000 men annually.
The Germans were eager to get raw materials. First of all, we had to clear cotton plantations. Soon the Bamun people asked themselves, what good is this work? They all met together and decided, it's time to do something to stop this forced labor in the fields. The four men decided, every time the white man comes and gives us seed to sow, we will roast it first before sowing it. When the seeds don't come up, the Germans will think the land is no good and they will go away. And this is what happened.
In those days, the Bamun gave civilization a slap in the face. The power of the king is slowly undermined. For outward appearances' sake and to reduce the pressure on him, the previously all-powerful ruler is left with only formal legal powers. Joya remains silent. He wants to protect the old customs from innovation and is still the object of German enthusiasm for the glory surrounding the ancient throne.
When we had gone through a series of halls and squares into the interior of the palace, we met the king in the courtroom giving judgment on a number of disputes. Sitting under the projecting roof of a pillared hall, he listened to the details of the cases from the judges. They would approach, bowed over, and whisper the story to him, holding their hands in front of their mouths in case their breath might touch the king. The party sit or stand in groups in the courtyard. Brightly dressed courtiers and favored nobles hurry across the court, bowing low as they pass the king. If he clears his throat or coughs, the whole assembly claps. If the king rises from his seat, everyone present rises and on the dais sit down again after the king has sat down.
Even to approach the royal throne, Mandu Yenu, was forbidden, except if you were a servant of the king who looked after the throne. Once a German came and wanted to greet the king, but he shook his hand. The Bamun were furious. How could the king shake the hand of this slave? But the king calmed the people. There were other stories when the Bamun were very angry. The king did everything he could to calm the people down and told them the Germans were his friends. Here is the king sitting in the court. The vain white man who thinks he is powerful sat down beside him and touched the footstool of the royal throne with his foot. The people were angry. There was almost an incident because of it. The white officer missed his footing and fell in the mud. The king, wanting to be polite, covered his own clothes with mud. And when they come into the great court, the white man sat down on the throne. A Bamun saw the white man sitting on the throne and took out his knife. The king calmed him. He shouldn't behave like the members of the bodyguard who cried excitedly, "What is this person doing on the throne?" The king answered that his guest was a madman. He became dizzy when he saw a lot of people. Some years later, when he had spent a lot of time with the Germans, King Joya went as a Christian. The Protestant church met in the courtyard of the palace. We sang their songs, the Christian songs.
Missionaries represent a hidden power at court. God's mercenaries came in peace with their religion, but they have declared war on the things that hold the people together. As a result, their culture disintegrated. King Joya believes he has seen the value of Christianity. His firstborn daughter is Christian Margaret. Here she is going to school with Andreas Mubanga. Later, Andreas himself became a teacher in this school. The king, however, remains a Mohammedan in secret and composes his own Our Father.
God rules in heaven. Joya honors him. For each day he helps us. Jesus the Lord is our generous Father. Jesus, God the Father, bless the world. That was me as a schoolboy. I was a pupil here. I was here in 1906. Chief Njoya sent us. We learned reading, writing, singing, and arithmetic. That's an old photograph from 1905. I can show you Njimungu. That is Njimungu. That's you. You're much bigger than your brothers and sisters.
Wasi Njimungu.
Isn't that a photo from our school days? I know this one. Isn't it you? That's you. Isn't it? Your eyes don't see so well. That's you. Can't you see? We had a lot of missionaries. I can tell you them. Herr Göring, Herr Gebreitz, Herr Heuer, Herr Moldenhauer, Herr Schwarz. Children who will leave behind will be taught by the white people. They will get useful advice and will be shown how to get very strong and wise and rich. We, Njoya, told the people that they should remember why the white people came here anyway. They came to help the blacks. They said, come on, we'll go and help the black people to become as wise as we whites. We knew Kaiser William, the king of the Germans. His face was on the coins. His face was on this 2-mark piece. He had a mustache and a pointy nose like this. He wore a big royal helmet. The helmet was made of iron. We learned in history lessons that he was a great general. You, say something too. I've forgotten everything. He's all yours. The Kaiser was a proper man, like the Bamun kings. We liked going to the German school. We're taught by Mr. Andreas Mubanga and white children too. But the whip. Many young people here stayed away from the German school because they were afraid of the whip. If the child was ordered to go to the German school, the father would refuse to send the child if he was a noble. He preferred to take his slave son and send him to school because of the whip. Seen from a distance, they were really respectable. The only thing we didn't like about them was that you had to lie down and they beat you when you did something wrong. Or they gave you a slap on the face, really hard, so that you went deaf. Or if you were wrong for some other reason, you had to hold your hand and they hit your hand and hit your hand again and hit your hand again. Either they hit you on the hand or they walloped your backside. Given to the Bamun people is immeasurable. My support of the people will go on to my death.
The king becomes an accomplice, like a piece in a game of chess, whose moves are decided by strangers. One of them, an officer and guest of Njoya, admits.
Let's be honest with ourselves and discard the myth that we went to Africa to bring happiness to the blacks. All these cliché slogans like civilizing mission or cultural crusade are simply red herrings to disguise the brutal application of a harsh law of nature, the law of the jungle.
The military enjoy giving their sultan presents of cheap, brightly colored uniforms from Berlin and Bavaria. They expect something in return. The curators of the Ethnological Museum in Leipzig, Stuttgart, and Berlin have been hoping for years to be able to get their hands on Mandu Yenu, the magnificent royal throne. The Berlin director writes to his number one supplier in Africa, the commander of the army administration.
Dear Captain Glauning, the chase is now on from all sides for the original Bamun throne. I would like to leave the matter confidentially in your hands. Of course, we would like to have the piece ourselves if it can be transferred to the Berlin Museum by peaceful and legal means. I would be happy to arrange for the construction of an impressive-looking theater throne of some value if we could get the original in exchange.
The Bamun were afraid of the white people. What should they do to stay friends with them? He, Njoya said, will observe them and report on their way of life. He traveled to the coast, to Boya and Douala. When he came back, he spoke the language of the whites. He told the Bamun of the life they led. King Joya had to visit the governor in the capital, Boya. He went with his soldiers and took many valuable objects with him. At that time, ivory was a very good present. And he took the throne to give as a present to the Kaiser. The king took only one throne, and it was Mandu Yenu, the throne of his father Sangu. He gave it away and kept only a copy of the throne for himself.
Mm-hmm.
The palace loses the most important symbol of its power, but the people know nothing. After long hesitation, the king decides to listen to his new friends, the missionaries, and against the wishes of his advisors, takes the Bamum throne with him on the long journey to the coast. He, the heir of conquerors, has gone off to his masters in the colonial capital to celebrate the birthday of the German Kaiser. Joya wants weapons from the governor and is looking for proof that he can trust the Germans. The king wants to demand help from the governor to stop the economic strangulation from the German traders who want to make profit many times over in bartering for Bamun goods. The king will have to pay with his pride. A whole museum could be filled in Central Europe for the presents his caravan brings to the emperor. At the end of his long journey, a curious and astonished king discovers a strange and alien world. German territory in Africa. Houses of stone, steamships, and modern weapons. Joya is bewildered and fascinated. Soon the Black King experiences how powerless he is. Joya's request for arms is never granted. The Germans even confiscate the weapons of his own palace guard. He will lay his presents at the feet of the Kaiser's governor in this magnificent palace and return empty-handed to the Bamun territory. For his father's throne, the journey will end in the Berlin Museum.
The chief of the Bamun, Joya, arrived here on January 24th, accompanied by the missionary Göring, to participate in the birthday celebrations of His Majesty the Kaiser. Joya brought a retinue of 20 soldiers and 200 bearers, 60 of whom were needed to carry the throne alone, a throne which dates from Joya's father and which the chief now asked to be allowed to present to His Majesty the Kaiser. I believe I can approve the acceptance of the present since the seat is a genuine, if somewhat primitive, example of the Bamun people's skillfulness and because King Joya deserves it for the loyalty he has always shown. The innate tact of this child of nature is illustrated by the fitting difference he shows in his dealings with white people as such and would put to shame many so-called representatives of other civilizations. Neither is the man lacking in political shrewdness. He stresses at every opportunity that he hasn't come to the coast on account of the mission, nor on account of the traders, but simply to declare his submission to the Kaiser and the German government. As regards a return present for Joya, he could perhaps be sent a music box which plays a few Prussian marches. I believe he would be impressed with the music box. Signed, Governor Sai.
Save us from the hands of the Germans. The Germans are suspicious. They are liars who constantly annoy the people. I hope that the morning dew will refresh my land and that the Germans, with all their wickedness, are exterminated and overthrown. There was a story which posed a problem for people. How can you sleep when the fire is burning at your foot? The Germans have angered us and made our hearts cold. At one and the same time, our hearts have become ice cold and burning hot. If a wise man could see all the wrongs that they have done, it would be more than a man could bear on his head. We and my servants want to be snatched from the hands of the Germans. When you speak the truth, you become a stranger in your own country. Later came the French. They came to the Bamun country and did not agree with King Joya. They exiled him for no reason. That is how it is, my children. My father struggled with all his might, and despite his strength, he was always defeated because the whites had all the power. If it pleases God to allow me to enter my kingdom again, I will join the customs of the Bamun on the one hand and white civilization on the other, so that my kingdom may survive. But if he should die, said Sultan Joya, his successor should take responsibility for this fusion of the two cultures. Fortunately, I was the heir and followed his words to the letter. My every action is directed by these words. Later, towards the end of his life, when things were going wrong, King Joya himself said he thought that he held the Bamun in his hand. He even put them in a bag, but when he opened the bag again, there was no one inside. King Ibrahim Joya came to power in 1889 and ruled the country for 44 years. He tried to join the cultures of the Bamun and the Fulbe and the Europeans. He had 152 children and disappeared in 1933. Thank you.